Okay. We'll come back to these guys in just a moment. Let me ask you some questions. Why did God extend grace to mankind? Why did Jesus come to earth and live as a human being? Why did he teach and do miracles? Why did he die? Why was he resurrected? Why has he ascended to rule at God's right hand? One answer to all these questions is this: because God wanted to create a people. A people comprised of men and women, young and old, molded into the image of his Son and after his purpose. I want you to join me this morning as we go to the second chapter of the book of Titus. Titus chapter 2. I think we just have our sermon point slides up here. So I'm going to go back up here for just a moment. We'll come to that. Titus chapter 2. Welcome. This is a special Sunday of the year where families get together and spend some quality time together. It is a Sunday, as has been alluded to, where many remember the fact that he is risen. Regardless of what's brought you here today, we welcome you in the name of Jesus Christ, and we're so thankful that you've chosen to be in this good place. And thank you to our brothers who have led us so well this morning. We're going to study in the second chapter of the book of Titus. Our brother Mike Phillips is going to lead a study of not just Titus, but 2 Timothy. That'll be later this year when we're in our new building. I believe that starts in September. But the book of Titus, this letter written to a young preacher working with churches on the island of Crete, gives us very useful and practical teaching, not just for preachers and not just for times when we as a church, say, are looking to appoint additional overseers, but it offers instruction for believers at every stage of life. Brother Phil read from chapter 2. We're not going to reread that necessarily, but go with me to chapter 2, look in verse 1, and notice that in Titus 2 and verse 1, Paul urges Titus to speak the things that are fitting for sound doctrine. Focus with me on that expression for just a moment. Sound doctrine. Now, sound doctrine involves many things, but one of those is centered on the idea of discipling Christians of every age. Remember the Great Commission in Matthew 28 and verse 20. What did Jesus want new disciples to be taught? All things that I have commanded you. He wants disciples of every age to be taught to follow him in all things. With each step, as we just sang, each step that we take in the journey, our God cares about each step that we take. Our Savior goes before us, as we sang, and we are to follow him. And that's what we find here, I believe, in Titus chapter 2. After urging Titus to speak things that are fitting for sound doctrine, he gets more specific about what he means by that. What he means for each of us to live out our faith, to live by God's grace at every stage of life. This is one of those texts that meets us in the everyday. It sits beside us on the sofa, if you will, and just speaks to us very practically in our homes, in our conversation, in the workplace, in our thinking, our attitudes, in how we relate even to one another, to other generations. God wants us, ladies and gentlemen, to take the pure, unadulterated message of the gospel, the sound doctrine, and live it out every day of our lives. And that brings us to our text for this morning. Sound doctrine meets each of us where we're at. And I want you to think about that as you go into this study with me. I want you to be an active participant in this study and understand that God is seeking to meet you this morning where you're at, man or woman, young or old. And there are some aspects of the gospel that sometimes are especially needful depending upon our stage of life, our circumstances, or even our gender. We're calling this study this morning, God's Grace for Generations, if you're taking notes. God's grace has been given, Titus chapter 2 and verse 11, to mold every generation. And that brings us back to our screen here, if we can get this back up here. I want us to just now look through what he says to different members of the churches of Crete, starting with older men. And the message to older men here, I've summarized it this way: set the tone. Now, I want to be very upfront about this. The first point, now you kind of know this already with my preaching, sometimes the first point is the longest point. That's especially going to be so today. I don't want you to freak out about that. And I want you to understand that I'm going to be laying some foundations in this point. Really, I'm talking to people of every age group. I'm talking to all of us in talking about some of the things of this point, okay? So understand that as we go through this. But brothers, I want you to hear me. Because there's some importance, I think, to be attached to the fact that Paul begins with what older men should be. I think Paul is calling older men and older women in that order to set the tone. I thought about calling this "Show the Way" in the churches of Crete. And that tone and that way would be counter to the culture that was found on Crete. In fact, the book of Titus alludes to that. And when you study that historically, and Mike will, I'm sure, have more to say about this, but Cretan culture had in the past mirrored the very qualities that Paul is championing, is celebrating here. But in the time of the first century, the Cretan culture reflected quite the opposite. So what are older men called to be? And without getting too deep in the weeds on the language here, I think you find when you look at this language, study this language, maybe compare different translations, you find that some of these words are very similar to each other, as if on occasion sometimes you have different aspects of the same general character virtue here being expounded upon. Let's step through these in order. First off, he says older men are to be temperate, your Bible might say, sober or sober-minded, your Bible might say, it might say something else. So focus on the first word of that list, that's where we're at. What does he mean by that? Temperate, sober or sober-minded. Well, for starters, that means having a mind free from the influence of substances. And when we think of sober-minded, we certainly think of alcohol. There is a physical application here. But more broadly, I think what the apostle is saying is that older men, we need to be free from what I will describe as negative, life-dominating influences. Let me say that again. Negative, life-dominating influences. Another way to put it would be this. Older men, we are called to be clear-headed. When I think of temperate, I think of the word temperature. And so maybe the way to say it is, we need to have a regulated spiritual and emotional temperature. We need to have a vigilant, alert spirit that will then be able to weigh and discern matters with a clear mind to discern matters rightly. And so we are able to maintain a moral steadiness. There's not this swing of emotions up and down. It's a steadiness, temperate, sober-minded. He also says that older men are to be dignified, your Bible might say, or the word reverent. And the idea here is of somebody that has, we would say in our day, someone with gravitas. Now, when I think of gravitas, I think of gravity. And I don't know if those words are related in etymology, but I do think the idea of something being weighty is what's conveyed here. This is somebody that's deeply respected. This is somebody of whom it can be said their words weigh more than the words of others. They command honor without ever having to demand it, because their conduct and their character reflect the holiness and gravity of God Himself. And so he says older men are to be temperate, older men are to be dignified, and then he says that older men are to be, I just love this word, sensible. Your translation may say self-control. By the way, the first word on the list in some Bibles is translated self-controlled. And in some Bibles, this third word is translated temperate. So there you go. Muddies the waters for you a little bit. But I want you to think about this, the idea of being sensible. And I think here is describing one's actions. Because, to what we spoke about earlier, because someone is temperate and dignified, they then make divinely balanced, sensible choices. They keep thoughts, emotions, and behaviors within the bounds of God's divine wisdom, making reasoned choices that honor the gospel. This is where sound doctrine meets us, older men. We're to be sound in every way, in the faith that we hold, in the love that we show, and in the hope that we foster, as seen in our steady manner and our ability to weather and endure trials. Now let's get more practical. And remember what I said. I'm laying groundwork here. Don't the rest of y'all just shut off your minds right now, because in a way I'm talking to all of us. But brothers, I'm just going to say plainly, the pathway to having a gospel-centered culture in this church depends largely on us. And I'm not just talking about elders and deacons. In some ways, it starts with us. And by the way, whether you think you're younger or older, you are somewhere in this text. So don't think, oh, I'm going to find how I'm exempt. Stop that. It depends on us. We need to make sure that we are showing the way, setting the tone. And I'm not saying that because I think we lack that. Quite the opposite. But I'm going to tell you, I'm learning as I start to get a little older, age doesn't automatically produce godliness. Let's say that again. Age doesn't automatically produce godliness. Aging, in fact, frankly, can expose certain weaknesses rather than erasing them. To get right down to it, my dear brothers, as we get older, we find ourselves becoming more susceptible to irritability. Being easily agitated or alarmist, guilty. The word I'm coming to learn is the word curmudgeon. Look that up. As physical decline, pain, or stress begin to take their toll, they discourage us and can just make our reactions toward others, well, rather cutting. We're just less patient with people. We can become more stubborn, more cynical, more prone, believe it or not, to knee-jerk reactions. We can become bitter and harsh. Less and less inclined to filter our speech because somehow we've convinced ourselves that we have earned the right to say whatever inane thought comes to our mind. We get discouraged when we see the world going downhill. We worry about what things are going to be like for our kids and grandkids. Maybe we're tempted to just, you know what, not my problem anymore. And drift into what I hear today called escapism. Checking out of life and putting life on cruise control and losing oneself in all manner of creature comforts, isolation, screens. Again, guilty. Unhealthy habits. Brothers, I don't know about you, this text speaks to me. Don't miss the point. God says, resist the temptation to conform to those tendencies that will be yours as a function, if for no other reason than because of your age. Instead, realize that you still have purpose and decide, I'm going to be different than that. I'm going to set the tone. I'm going to show others how to live above the world when, frankly, you're just fed up with the world. Maybe you're someone who has just stopped caring what people think about you. Regardless of who you are today, I want to say to you, lean into that. There's no period there. Lean into that in a healthy way. Lean into that in a godly way. It is a blessing. It is a blessing to be liberated from the pressures of caring what others think, but only if you use it well. God's looking to us, brothers, to show others how to live above the world. Others are responsible for themselves. He's looking to us, though, to set the tone. And so we need to remain intentional about our growth rather than drifting into negative patterns. We need to show others how to live in a world of overreacting and harsh rhetoric. To show others how to be generous in spirit. To be a kind of anchor presence that brings calm rather than chaos. When the church faces uncertainty, we need to have calm and cool voices that prevail. Aging can cause one to feel limited in their ability to serve within the kingdom. But remember, brothers, you have years of experience stored up. We need you in this church. And can I mention again, God chose to address you first. What does that tell you? One of the things it says to me, we still have a vital role to play. Now, one other thing before we finish up this point. I told you it's going to be a long point. The language in verse 2 here, does that sound familiar at all? It should. Now, it's used in just a few other places in Scripture. But can I just share quickly where else it's used? 1 Timothy chapter 3. And it's used everywhere. Verse 2. Speaking of those who aspire to be overseers, they must be men who are temperate and prudent. Two of the first three words. Verse 8, deacons are to be men of dignity. And verse 11, wives are to be dignified and temperate. It's everywhere. And then in Titus 1, Titus 2, the idea of being sensible used throughout. So hear me, all of us, men and women, as disciples, we want to model godliness in the Spirit of Christ and seek to foster a gospel-centered culture. And when we do that, let me ask you a question. If we'll all commit to doing that, do you think it would be generally harder or easier to identify and appoint elders and deacons? Harder or easier, if that's just the culture among us? Well, I think you know the answer to that. Men, I want you to say something with me. I'm going to say something and say a few things, and I want you to repeat what I say, okay? Ready? My life still has meaning. We'll try that again, man. My life still has meaning. My life still has meaning. I know you weren't ready for that. And I carry myself accordingly. I think clearly. I choose wisely. I live honorably. And amen. And I think we've spent quite enough time on that. You ready for the closing blitz? All right, here we go. He next talks to older women. And he urges you, sisters, I'm calling this support young women. Titus chapter 2, verse 3, older women likewise are to be reverent in their behavior, not malicious gossips or enslaved to much wine, teaching what is good so that they may encourage the young women. Now, there are qualities here that young women need to have, that older women need to have here especially. that they need to have as they stand before God. But notice there is a particular end that he wants to focus them toward. That there is a work of service that they are uniquely positioned to offer. And ladies, you're uniquely positioned to offer, and that is needed vital support for younger women. Sisters, I will appeal to you with one word in this text. If you're still thinking, yeah, he wasn't talking to me in point one, all I will do is use one word, likewise. That's in the text. So in other words, ditto to pretty much everything that we just said to the older men. And brothers, resist the urge to think that I'm not giving equal time this morning. Some specific ways that God calls you ladies to manifest the qualities of being temperate, dignified, and sensible. You'll notice verse 3 mentions reverent in behavior. Notice, he calls you ladies to do this. Don't slander. Don't slander. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 11 calls wives to avoid gossip. Now you'll notice here that in Titus 2 and verse 3, in the New American Standard anyway, it says, not malicious gossips. Neither this text or 1 Timothy 3, you know what word is translated malicious gossips? Diabolos, devil. So to underscore the sermon that Jacob preached some weeks and months ago about gossip, understand what gossip turns us into, who it makes us like. It makes us like the devil himself. He says, don't be that. And further, I think the idea here is that, you know, words are important. But sisters, can I appeal to you to consider that you have a superpower? You do. It's one that comes to you as a function of your calling in Christ, but it also comes to you as a function of just your natural abilities from God. You have the power to influence others at times using few, if any, words. That's not a put down. But that is so. Remember what he says to wives in 1 Peter 3? Same idea. Without a word. Be women who live above the culture, who, like the men, avoid the same pitfalls associated with aging. Men and women both have trouble as they age with speech filtering. And so God says, be mindful and measured in your speech. Be kind and generous. And the fact is that you have great wisdom to offer the rest of us. And here, the younger women in particular, you have a God-given role to teach them as no one else can, these young wives and mothers and singles in this church, some vital things. And can I say to those of you who are younger, you notice I'm leaving it up to you which camp you're in. Be approachable and seek out counsel. Are you doing that? In fact, let's switch now to what the Holy Spirit says to those who are younger. You kind of see how this is going. We're just following the order in the text. Next, to younger women, the call here, I'll summarize it this way, serve for the gospel. Titus 2, verse 4, so that they may encourage the young women to what? To love their husbands, to love their children, to be sensible, pure, workers at home, kind, being subject to their own husbands. Why? So that the word of God will not be dishonored. Like I said, Mike's going to have a lot more to say about this in the fall. But sisters, hear this appeal, and not so much from me, but from the Holy Spirit of God who loves you. Serve the people in your circle. I'm going to broaden that out a little bit because some of you aren't married. Serve the people in your circle with a view toward how that service influences the world concerning the gospel. That's the focus at the end of verse 5. And so here are some things that Paul recommends, that he commends to you in terms of what that looks like. If you're married, he says, love your husband intentionally. That's important for people of any age to hear who's married, because sometimes you're just not going to feel it. But resist the urge, sisters, to drift into indifference. You might think when you say I do, oh, that'll never happen. It's going to happen. If you have children, he says, love your children actively. Be present, not passive. He says to learn self-control, master your impulses before they master you. Pursue purity. And so as Proverbs 4 teaches you, ladies, you need to guard your heart and your mind and your actions. Be very mindful of the cultural air that you breathe. Be very careful about the influences you surround yourself with. Build relationships with godly peers, as I know many of you are doing. Build relationships with godly mentors, as I know that many of you are doing. Continue to do that. Take ownership of your home. Create order, not chaos. Make kindness your reputation. Do good consistently. Serve. And then he says, respect your husband. And just that quality of respect, that's something all of us need to learn. But in this context, respect your husband and learn what it means to him for the Lord's sake. And yes, for his. Because I will tell you firsthand, honor and respect will strengthen your husband and bring out a much better version of him. And in all of this, Paul says, sisters, your example carries influence. You also have a unique opportunity to shape how people in this community view the gospel of grace. If there is a battle being waged today, it is in the minds and hearts of our young ladies. Live above the world, sisters, and know that our God knows just how much you are pressured to think and behave like the culture. Choose God's culture. And then finally, let's see who's left. All right. Much as I would love to group myself in this category, I'm on the back nine. Younger men, set the example. And I put the definite article here because, yeah, we all need to set an example, but there is a particular example that is needed from you. And I want to drive that home. Titus 2, verse 6. Likewise, urge the young men to be sensible. And then verse 7, in all things, he's talking to Titus, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity and doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the opponent will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. I infer from this placement here that Titus was probably a young man. And that further what Paul writes to him, he writes as an extension of what he says to young men in verse 6. And these are things that all young men can take to heart. So my brothers, what does God need you to hear? Where does sound doctrine meet you today? Well, he says, be self-controlled. It's a fitting place to begin. Discipline's not negotiable. It's vital. Learn discipline while you're young. Manage yourself well. And that includes being approachable and being teachable. When those who are older kind of step in, and you may see it as intrusive, but have a good attitude about it because they're seeking to give you wise counsel. Be self-controlled. Control your emotions. Model good works. And notice there is a bit of self-starting with that. Don't wait for those older or younger to prod you to do what's right. Get involved in serving other people, as I know many of you are. Be a young man who is known for keeping his word. Work hard. Choose integrity over convenience. And when you teach, we can broaden out what is said to Titus. Teach well when you're given that opportunity. Apply all discipline, diligence, and dignity toward doing so. Don't compromise truth. See the privilege of getting to teach God's word as a solemn honor, as a craft demanding the highest effort. And get rid of any self-serving motives. Choose your words wisely. Next, I would commend this thought to you from the text. Be serious about truth. Not everything in life is a joke. And I love to joke and cut up like the next person. But be serious. Be sober in mind. Don't treat the weighty things lightly. Don't treat the things that matter lightly. And in all of this, you will find yourself living above reproach. Don't give critics any ammunition to criticize the gospel. Let your life do the talking. There's a lot more in this text, like what is said to bondservants. Again, there'll be a class this fall, and I hope that if you're able, you'll sign up for that. But I hope that you'll consider what we've taught this morning, and if you find it to be sound, that you'll put where this text meets you today in your life each and every day. The fact is, and you can go ahead and get ready to sing, but don't tune me out. I'm counting on you to be able to multitask. God's grace touches all generations, which means that God's grace is for you. And if you're not a Christian this morning, we want to call on you to consider what God has done through Christ Jesus, to consider that God has brought grace to mankind for a reason. God has a purpose for you, and He wants you to be part of a people for His own possession. Jesus came to make you what God paid a huge price for you to become. And so, if it is your need this morning, let your faith compel you to turn from sin, come to Christ, confessing your faith, and unite with Him in His death, burial, and resurrection. And maybe it's the case that as a Christian, you find that you need to repent. You need to start over. You need to return back home to your first love.